What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. Today, I'm going to be joined by Joshua. He wanted to come on and talk about his 6.4 Power Stroke, and I always love chatting about those trucks and learning more about how he got it, the build process. It's turned into a really cool truck, so he's going to walk us through the process of buying it, fixing some things, how he upgraded it, and some plans that he has for the future at the racetrack, so it's going to be really cool. He also is one of the co-founders of Texas Truck Jam. So it's going to be cool to chat with him about that as well, and seeing how that event has grown and become this regional, even national event that a lot of companies and racers and just diesel enthusiasts like to go check out. Before we get to it, though, I want to remind you guys, you can save 20% off at kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20. You get 20% off site-wide. Also want to encourage you guys to jump on our Discord. You're going to see a link on the screen. It's a great place to be able to chat with us, learn about truck builds, ask us questions. There's so many cool things and builds and just ideas for episodes that I get there. So it's a great place, completely free to join. Invite you to head on over there, join up, tell us about your truck and what your plans are for it. All right, let's get to today's episode with Joshua, learning more about his 6.4 and Texas Truck Jam. Joshua, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I'm excited to chat with you today about diesel events, 6.4 Power Strokes, seeing what you've been up to. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. It's been a while. It's good to see you again.
Yeah. I remember we did one, was it 2 or 3 years ago where we were?
I think both, actually. I think we did them 2 years in a row. Or maybe we did it twice in one year. I can't remember. We were down at Truck Source Diesel, and I had Chris Buhider and Corey and Ray Ross and Nathan Wheeler there, and it was a whole gang of us.
Yeah, I remember, you guys caught me off guard with the Duramax with the 4R100 in it.
And, oh yeah,
I wasn't prepared for that.
It gets everybody off guard, man.
Well, today I wanted to share with you about 6.4s, and it's we've been doing some Ford episodes recently, and I see people that are in the market, and they ask me, "Hey, what do you think of 6.4s?" And I figure there's no better way than to ask somebody who's owned one and been around them a while to chat with us about it. So tell me about your truck.
Well, I bought my truck back in 2016. I had actually totaled my F-150 on the way home from work one day. And I remember a buddy of mine had bought one in 2008 when they first came out. And we were working out in the oil field in West Texas. And I was like, that's the coolest diesel ever. And I had a 6.0 after that, 12 valve. And then I totaled my F-150. I was like, you know what? No better time than now to buy one. And I bought it, and I thought I did a pretty good buyer's check, and I did not. Turns out it had blown head gaskets like 3 days after I purchased it. Coolant was spraying everywhere. It was overheating. I'm like, are you kidding me? And so I took it to a shop here, local to me here in Central Texas. And guy was like, yeah, you've got blown head gaskets. I can do it for this much. So I went back to the dealership, and they were like, well, sorry, you signed this little piece of paper that says as is. And I'm like, that's pretty shady, but okay, I get it. And so I went on our local little group called Texas Diesel Outlaws and was asking other people if they had similar situations with this particular dealership. And everybody was like, it's the worst around. And I'm like, great, I had no clue about this.
Could there have been something when you were looking at the truck that you could have picked up on that before you bought it?
Yeah, there was a tall tale sign. When I got it 3 days later, I opened up the degas bottle. I'm searching this thing top to bottom. I'm looking for white stains on the hood to see if coolant had been spewing out. And they did a very good job of detailing and masking every little thing that I could look at. Other than just taking it somewhere and having them done a buyer's check on it, pressurizing the system, reading the PSI out the DES bottle and see where that's fluctuating at. I know these 6.4s like to be around 15, 16 area, and this thing had a 21 PSI 6.7 cap on it. It was still spraying out of that. So fun times.
Now, when you were going to get that fixed, like, did you think of maybe some other upgrades that you could do while you were in there to help with it? Or what was your plan on that side?
Honestly, I just needed to get it back running at the time. I was a single dad. I've had sole custody of my now 15-year-old for 13 years. And so it was just he and I. I was not making a whole lot of money back then, just kind of skating by. But so I kind of did the bare minimum. I did the studs, and we got O-ringed heads and new oil cooler. I mean, we did it the right way. But I wish I could have gone somewhere a little bit more proficient with them than this first stop that I made, because I probably would have gotten a little bit better bang for my buck if I would have researched a little bit more. But I was, you know, in a need, didn't have a spare car, and was like, dude, I don't care, just get it going.
Yeah, it just needs to get running again. With where it was from that point, how did the build or the modifications change? Like, did you just daily drive it for a few years, or did you have a particular plan in mind of, this is where I want to take it, and I'm going to do it in these steps to reach that goal?
I still daily drive it every once in a while, to be honest with you, even the way it sits now. But my turns out what ended up becoming one of my very best friends, Nathan Wheeler. I mean, he had a 6.4 with BD turbos on it and a dual fueler. And I'm like, dude, that's the direction I want to go. This guy's out here just demolishing everything on the streets here in town. We've got a little local list scene that we race with, and I mean, he was like number one, number two constantly. I was like, yes, I need that. And here we are 5-6 years later, now faster than what his was back then.
There's always that one friend who inspires us to kind of upgrade our build or go a little bit quicker with it, just so we're a little bit faster, you know.
Oh, we're horrible influences on each other, let me tell you.
So how does the truck sit now? What have you done to it to get it to the level that it's at?
Well, so the short block now is actually Nathan's old short block out of a truck that he had built and wrecked. And it's got your standard male pistons that TSD had delipped and fly cut, and they sent off to Polydine to have coated. It's got stock rods. It's 20 overbore. It's got cast choke ported heads with 120-pound valves. Charlie Fish, I reached out to him. We're running his 75 low pressure on there with a BD59, as well as a dual fueler kit and some S&S 60s with all the supporting stuff, studs and fast 260 and everything. It put down right at 900 on the dot. It was actually 900.12. So I was kind of excited to see that.
We always remember our dyno numbers, even down to the decimal point.
Oh yeah, man. When we put this together, I was like, there's no way it's going to make this much. But if it does, I'm going to be shitting like facial grins. And I ran around and it said it. I was like, oh yeah. My son got a pretty cool video of it. Then we decided to put nitrous on it the weekend after, 2 weeks after it got off the dyno. So
I was just going to ask you that, if you fed it some nitrous.
We did. Nitrous Outlet, our good friends up in Waco, Texas, reached out to them, and they got us a single dry kit that we were running on a button on the steering wheel. And it's got a 52 jet in there right now. I really couldn't tell you what it's going to run all the way out, because we went to Ice Cream Cruise in Iowa last weekend, the 1320 video race, and I ran the 750 index class. And I was having to get on the brakes hard about 600 foot, because you could just feel that it was going way too fast. And it ran the 754 on the number. So, you know, guessed right on the braking at the end.
I always love chatting about transmissions. What'd you do on that setup, like with your converter, your stall speed? Is it still running a 5R, or did you switch to something else? Or
It's still a 5R for right now. Eventually, probably switch over to the 4R, maybe end of next year. It's got a Garand triple disc converter in there right now, and I could not tell you the stall speed right off the top of my head. Other than that, it's got a shift kit and some Robestos clutches, and basically a stock transmission outside of that. I'm kind of floating with Daredevil over here, boost launching this thing, essentially a stock trans, but I've got a Suncoast 5R, billet 5R ready to stab in it for when this one goes.
It's always really been impressive to me how much Ford transmissions can take, especially the 5R and the 6R140, just with relatively minimal upgrades, they can take a beating pretty good.
Yes. I've got a local guy here to me about 20 minutes from my house, Galaxy Trans in Liberty Hill. And this guy's just a master with them. I can pull that thing out once a year, run it over to him. He tears it apart, refreshes it, replaces the clutches, anything that goes wrong with it, throws it back together, and I have it stabbed back in the truck within 2 to 3 days.
It's good.
So that's been a huge help.
What would you tell somebody if they were thinking, they're a Ford fan, they're looking at buying a used diesel? I guess I should say maybe something to daily drive, take to the track every now and then and have fun with. So it's not necessarily going to be a competition only full race build. But if they're out there looking for that 08 to 10 6.4, what are some tips you would give them that you've learned, like when you were shopping for one, that but then also in doing some upgrades along the way to be able to, build it to make a little bit more power?
Proper tuning and critical maintenance. Like I'm religious about maintenance. I change my oil every 3,500 miles, just like it would be a gas car. For me, it's just peace of mind. I don't care. I run Hot Shots EDT every single tank. When I change my fuel filters out, I'm throwing a bottle of their Diesel Extreme in. Anything that I can help keep that K16 working properly, you're gonna be just fine. Little things that I noticed along the path was just the smallest little things, like a little cold side intercooler pipe made the biggest difference in throttle response with this thing. Because as it comes through the core support, the factory one like pancakes in
Yeah.
basically like this, and it's so restrictive. That alone, I was just like, oh, hey, this has compounds. Now you can actually utilize the compounds to get out of that situation you need to be in. And driving around down here in Austin, Texas, you want some good throttle response.
It's amazing. I remember when those trucks were relatively new and seeing that pipe and how flat it got. It's like, oh, there's so much room for improvement. And we want to know, if we do an upgrade, it's also like so reaffirming when you can feel the difference right away, which I know with turbos and fueling, and injectors, you always notice that difference. But just with something like a charge pipe, being able to fill, it's like that was totally worth, buying and putting on
Yes.
my truck.
And I was, I went and got the Sinister one just because I like the pretty blue to go with my truck. And I really don't care. I'm not a brand specific loyal person. I don't care bad rumors or good rumors. As long as it does its job and it looks the way I want it to look, okay, it's going on there.
The maintenance part is something that it's not as fun to do. It's not as cool as like you pop the hood, your buddies are around, you're like, hey, check out this new, charger I got, or check out this dual fueler. But it plays such a crucial role. And I think like the way you're pushing your truck, you mentioned the transmission and just trying to do everything you can to keep those parts living is really important because it can be expensive. If an injection pump goes down, where's that metal going? Where are those, where's the debris going to hit? And it snowballs. So I know it's not as fun to do, but there's a lot of choices out there with fuel additives, oils, transmission fluid, gear fluids. There's just so many choices.
And before I really learned about being that religious with it, I had cracked my pistons. I was down in San Antonio Raceway. It was a Friday night test and tune. There was this Ferrari running around thinking he was hot. And I was just like, well, I'm a truck. I don't know if I'm hot or not, but I'll give you a run. And about a thousand, we're, well, I guess we were about 1,100 foot down the track. And all of a sudden, I heard a loud pop and I looked back and I just saw white smoke. And I was about a car in front of this guy. And I'm just like, I'm not letting out at this point. I'm going to cross that quarter mile ahead of this guy. And I stayed in it. And as soon as I crossed that quarter mile, popped it up in neutral and just killed it and coasted down to the side and had to have actually Larry Brown come save me in his aluminum flatbed Dodge Cummins that whoops everybody's butt. And he still doesn't let me live that down, that his Cummins had to come pull my Ford off the track.
It goes the opposite way too. I mean, I think it's happened with all the brands. There's always something doing something.
Oh yeah. But it was that moment alone, because I was like, oh, that was 4.5 years ago and I had no money to fix it. I shouldn't have been racing it, and I knew that, but it was fun, whatever. So it sat for about 6 months before I threw a bunch of money at it and Truck Source Diesel pulled the motor and went through it and did their whole tweaks and learns that they've done with these, because they know how to build those things very well. And it ended up costing me about 17 grand, but we went ahead and did bigger injectors while we were in there and all the little upgrades. And I took my time and at that point was like, we're going to do this, we're going to do it right.
Would you say that that was one of the most helpful things in that process was having a shop that you knew that had done this before and being able to lean on them and say, hey, what should I do, guys? I got this apart right now, and just being able to trust them versus, you know, trying to piece the information together. It can be done, but it can also be very difficult where, yeah, I wanted to know more about kind of that relationship with the shop and how they helped you through the process to maximize your money, maximize your budget, and make sure it was, you know, a quality product that, you know, you're happy with, you're still driving it, and it's lasted for you.
Well, they knew that I was going to be out beating on it. And so they were like, if you're going to continue driving with your driving habits, this is what you need to do, A, B, and C. These are the options that we can lay out. And they told me from the get-go, if this is going to be your end goal, take an extra few months, save up some money, and do it. Buy once, cry once. Isn't that the old saying?
Yeah. I tell myself
I've cried a few times. Yeah, I've cried a few times, but it's all self-induced. I hear a lot of people talking very badly about these motors, but I mean, I know guys out there that still original motor, and they're pushing 300,000-400,000 miles on them, and they grandpa them, they drive them and maintenance them, and they're not out pushing the limits on them. I am. And so you break things occasionally.
If you were going to sell me on getting a 6.4, what would be the selling points you would tell me when I'm out there looking and there's, you know, a 6.0, there's, you know, 5.9, maybe an LBZ, something like that. What would you say are the parts about it that you really like that I should pay attention to if I'm in the market to have fun with a truck and I'm out there looking?
Well, once you drive one for the first time, you kind of understand. Like just sitting behind the wheel and driving this thing and just whether it's through town on a road trip, it gets decent fuel economy when it's got the other stuff taken off of it. I know that's a sensitive subject right now, but it and your overall, the cost to repair them isn't that bad. So if you want to look at other stuff, I mean, there's a lot of manufacturers out there that are discontinuing a lot of parts. You can't get aftermarket stuff right now with the way the economy is and manufacturing. There's still a bunch of 6.4 stuff out there everywhere. And so for me, that was a big thing. I knew a bunch of people in the world. I see used parts trucks for sale, or, hey, I wrecked this, I'll sell it. For me, that was a big thing because I'm a garage mechanic. I'll try and do as much as I can myself until it comes down to building a motor, because I'm no motor expert. So I'm not going to even try. But, you know, if you're not brand loyal, I think out of all of them, and I own a 672, I have a 2018. I do drive that daily just because it's so much more comfortable inside of it, riding around in a truck 8-9 hours a day with what I do for a living. But I still prefer my 6.4 over my brand new truck.
Is it how the power comes on? Is it the response? Is mm-hmm. it? Because that's one of it's the things. Instant. Yeah, that was one of the things that I think we all notice when we jump in a truck. Like you mentioned, having a 12 valve. And I think when I've driven a 5.9, either 12 valve or the common rails are a little quicker, but I noticed a bit more lag than, say, a 6.7 Cummins. I noticed how quick, you know, a Duramax gets on top of, you know, just a factory style charger or something close to it. And so that's what I was really curious about, because I've ridden in a 6.4. I've never driven one, though. And so I was always really curious, like, what is the driving experience like? Because that's what I'm going to experience every single day driving it, you know, mm-hmm. to or from the office or on road trips and things like that.
I honestly don't see why everybody wants to single swap them unless you're going full blown race truck. If you're out daily driving this thing, to me, compounds are the only way to go with that motor, because I'm in and out of traffic. I'm on highways all day. I own a towing company, so I'm in and out of apartment complexes all day with my truck, talking to property managers and getting where I need to go. And with the traffic here, being able to just punch the gas a little bit and jump over and get around somebody if I need to, it's there and I never have to question it. My 6.7 is very responsive for what it is, but it's still not my 6.4.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things when those trucks first came out that was really interested me, was the turbo setup on them and how much you could get out of the factory parts with just a tune, really, and a few other little things. And then once you get into the aftermarket and the different choices you have for cartridges and turbos and things like that, it's just, you know, if you have a Cummins, you're going to want to buy a compound set. And, you know, this truck has it, and they've been around long
enough. Comes from the factory.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, You just have a little bit more to play with, just quicker, I think.
I think if you take any platform out there and do pretty much a stock delete tune cold air intake truck on all the manufacturers across all the platforms, and you were to average them out with fuel mileage, drivability, comfortability, and power wise, the 6.4s, in my opinion, is going to win every time.
Yeah, that was a, I think the thing that stuck out the most about them was just, especially at that time, if you had a 6.7 Cummins and you wanted to make that power number, you couldn't just do it with a tune. And even with the 5.9s, you'd have to do other things and invest some more money. And then you combine it with the 5R and what they could do without really having to dig into them very much. It's very much a, I think, a budget friendly kind of, daily driver, take it to the track every now and then. It's really tough to beat that.
And then hook up and be able to tow a nice trailer up a hill without, winging out RPMs or getting under boost, overspeeding your turbos and stuff. To me, it's a lot better.
I love that grill style and the fenders. And when they changed them in 2011, it just, it, I just
Wasn't the
couldn't,
same.
no, I couldn't like it as much. Just visually, those 11 to, 16s, it was just like, I can't get into the body style as much.
It took me a long time on the 17 and newers, but at the end of the day, I needed something that wasn't going to be as sporty to drive around and not be worried about letting it idle and run for 8 hours a day. I mean, my truck literally from the time I leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning, it does not turn off until I stop for lunch or until I get home in the evening. So I don't want to be sitting there idling a truck with 2000 microseconds worth of fuel in it. For
Yeah.
8 hours, that's just not very good.
Now, do you in the future, are you thinking of doing, changing the setup at all, or adding, something, or just drive it the way it is until either something breaks, you got to repair something, or what's your plan there?
No, it's so this current setup has been on there for maybe 2 months, and I've already been in talks with Chris Buhider down at Truck Source. We're going to be tearing it back down this winter, gutting it, cutting, trying to. We're going to try and cut about 1,000 pounds out of it, put a cage in it, run it in 670 next year.
That'll be fun.
Maybe go up to 100% over injector. We'll see if it needs it after we cut the weight out and play with the nitrous a little bit and see if we can't get it to run that on the 60s. But if it needs the hundreds, we're going to throw them at it.
You gonna keep the same turbo setup, or maybe consider that single for racing?
No, we'll keep the turbo set up because I still want to be able to drive this to and from the Mexico stuff that we do here locally. It just won't be as street friendly, but we'll get it there.
And are you gonna throw the trans in this winter too? The Suncoast?
Yes, definitely get that in there because, and we'll all keep probably end up keeping this one and having it as a spare or backup in case something ever does happen.
On the suspension side, do you have plans for that this winter to, change up suspension?
Depends on what's left in the piggy bank after some of the things I want to do, but I'd like to get some coilovers right now. It's just got some Bilstein 5100s. It's got one up off-road track bars and a PMF 4 link up front. And it seems to do pretty well. The wheel hop that I do get occasionally is mainly from running a Nitto 420B, the 10 12 ply tire. That's not very friendly on the drag strip, but I'm trying to find some race masters right now to help with that. But would definitely like to get some QA1 coilovers on there this winter if I can swing the extra few bucks.
It's gonna be cool to see, next year when you take it out, what it, what it does, and just to hear the feedback from it. It's always cool to do a podcast, and we chat about where the truck was, where it is now, and then everyone's changing something up in the wintertime, getting ready for next year, and just being able to see, hey, this was really worth it, or I want more fuel, or I changed the air up a little bit, or I love what the suspension did. So it's always cool to be able to follow these builds and see how they progress and give those real results, whether it's on the dyno or it's at the track, the class you're running, the 60 foot time. It's always really cool to see that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Who knows? Maybe do a crazy raft like we did on Crazy Horse. You never know. Nathan's been bugging me about doing a raft on there. And one, maybe we will. I just love that blue so much. It's one of my favorite colors.
Yeah, it is a really cool color. I did want to ask you, as we're chatting about, the wintertime and racing and stuff like that, is you're one of the co-founders of Texas Truck Jam. And I
I
remember,
am.
chatting about it years ago when you guys were just starting it, and then, like this year, like how big it was, how much you guys have grown it. So I wanted to ask you about that a little bit and see, what are your thoughts about building something that is this big? Like, I see people from all over the country and companies coming from all over to go to Texas to this event. And that's a lot of hard work to grow something into that.
Oh yeah, we had a guy drive down. So this year we, Corey and I, came up with with as expensive as fuel prices were this year, we wanted to do something to give people the motivation to still want to spend that money and come down to the event. So if you drove further than 500 miles to our event, you got a free tech card to any class you wanted on Saturday, whether it be Show and Shine, dyno competition, any one of the six drag, five drag classes that we do on Saturday. And we had a guy drive his truck down from Idaho just to enter a Show and Shine. And I was just like, you are a trooper, young kid. I wish I would have planned a little bit better. I could have told you his name, but we ended up hooking him up with some shirts and TSD. Love the fact that he drove that far. So I think they threw him a free cold air intake, just for making the trip down to Texas. The event, as far as our competitors go, has just skyrocketed astronomically. We threw in a no prep last year on Friday night, where we went to the top end of the track at where the quarter mile ends, and we did an 8 mile street style race, flashlight start on the top end, and that was, everybody loved it. So we did it again this year, and then we had decided to include gas cars. We were like, anything can run in this. We don't care if you're a diesel truck, gas truck, Monte Carlo, Mustang, fire. I don't care. Come up, show up, throw your money down. Let's see who's the fastest on a true virgin, no prep surface. Because I'm the only person that's ever thrown one up there, except for Angel Montanez with 210. He does a lot of no prep racing in South Texas, but that was like 4 years ago. So there's no rubber down up there. Ryan Mitchell, actually from KC Max, was at LS Fest, which just happened to be the same weekend as our event, which really kind of aggravated me. But anyways, he left LS Fest and hauled butt after winning Big Tire there down to our event. Got there like 15 minutes before drivers meeting, and then proceeded to win Big Tire and Small Tire at our no prep event that Corey and I threw. So that was really cool. And then he went back to LS Fest the next day and won Big Tire again. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy just won four classes over a 24 to 48 hour period of time. So that people just, that I feel like that's the way racing's going. And right now, I mean, I don't know if you've been keeping up in the racing world. It's hard to find prep. A lot of these tracks can't even find glue to spray down. So I'm in the works of planning another no prep top end race up there, hopefully later this year with the track. But the dyno's definitely grown. I mean, oh my gosh, those guys went from time the gate open till we literally shut the lights off on them at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. It was like, okay, y'all gotta, we're cutting into, we're running, we've run out of our expenses that it cost us to run the track. So we literally have to shut you guys down. And I'd guarantee you they dynoed, I think they said 60, 70 trucks that day,
Yeah,
right
that's
next to the drag strip. We set it up just like UCC did, so that way people can watch the dyno and the drag racing at the same time.
it's been it's really cool to see something grow like that, because one of the things that I remember from 2020 and when all events were shut down was just how crucial it is. Not even, I mean, it is crucial on a local level, but like you mentioned, people coming from out of state, and I know sometimes people come from Canada and then they come to races down here, and just being able to have that face-to-face contact and see the trucks and watch it, we really missed it. So it's been nice to have it back and see the growth of it and the popularity. And I know specifically in that region, like somebody asked me once, hey, where do you guys get the most plays from? And it's really close between Texas and California. And there's so many truck guys there. There's so many diesel owners there. It's really awesome to see the event that you guys have built where people there can go enjoy trucks, check out the show and shine, watch racing, dyno, just see these things that they love in such a popular area for like I said, trucks, but then also, you know, diesel trucks.
Yes. And it was very, it was a sad day when Mr. Randy Cole announced that they were going to be retiring and kind of parting the doors with NHRDA. Cause I mean, that was me and all my friends down here. That was twice a year that we planned our vacation time with work around those events, you know, and we would get huge campers and we'd set up big compounds at the track and it was just a big party, you know, yeah. And especially coming out of COVID, you know, we still had our event through COVID. Numbers were down, you know, obviously because people were either scared of getting out or they were refusing to wear a mask, which I wasn't going to tell a single person to put one on, but you know, and I think now people are just itching to get back out because it's, you know, as you saw today, the CDC says it's no longer a thing anymore. You know, like you don't have to quarantine anymore, whatever. I don't think much of us down here in Texas ever did to begin with, but.
Yeah, it's, I think it's that, it's, we had so much time to sit around and think about builds and watch videos and read things or listen to podcasts. And we got all these ideas and it's been, yeah, I did a podcast not long ago, with a gentleman with a 6.4 and he was talking about building his truck during that time and right after and having to wait for parts because of lead times and things like that. So I sense there's a lot of urgency and excitement about it getting out there and just doing these things because we got to sit around and wait for it, or we're waiting for parts or manufacturing or all the different things with supply chain. And it's cool to see these builds come together. And I did want to mention, you know, just how awesome it's been to see you guys grow this from when you guys first started till now. And it's something that's on the map nationally where, like I said, I see companies that are on the podcast, they're going there, they're sending people down there. And I think it's a testament to, you know, you guys that started it and the vision you had for it. So that's, I think it's really cool for diesel. I think it really helps it.
It does. And, you know, when you get guys like us and then Michael Dalton with RLC Motorsports, you know, he hosts the Rocky Top Race. And, you know, obviously the Millers up at Firepunk with the ODR and Dan Scheid and all these guys, you know, none of us do this for money. You know, we're doing this because we love the sport. We want it to be a safe environment and we want everybody to have fun. You know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into putting one of these events on, you know, and it's a lot of money. You know, I mean, on an average year, Corey and I spend, you know, it cost us by the time this year we gave out, we advertised $8,000 in payouts and we actually doubled that. We gave out just shy of $16,000 across all classes this year. You know, so you incorporate that with your track rental and Texas Motor Plus is extremely expensive for 2 days. You know, your shirts, your tickets, your trophies. Actually, here's I think this is one from this year. Yes, this was a leftover one from this year that we had. So
I remember seeing those on Instagram and I was like, those are so cool.
Oh yeah. And this was from, I think 2021, where we ended up just not having a pro mod class that year, but we still made the trophy. And I was like, I'm keeping it because I've never won a trophy at my own event. So I'm keeping the one that we didn't do the class for. But you know, I mean, golly, between all, I mean, it cost almost $45,000-$50,000 to host one of these events. And by the time you get the dyno and the generator for the dyno, if the track doesn't have a hookup for it, you know, it's three phase. And so we're doing it for the fun. For me, it doesn't matter one way or another if we walk out of there with $10 or making a bunch of money. As long as everybody had fun, everybody was safe, and we put a bunch of money in people's hands to go home as winners with, I think that's the greatest thing anybody looking to throw events can shoot for. And that's how you'll be successful.
And I think also too, building those relationships with sponsors and, you know, companies and racers who support the event is also crucial, you know, as well, to get the support. Cause like you said, it's not about making the money. It's about really creating that environment for people. So I didn't want to put you on the spot of, you know, naming all of them, but I do know how important that is. So if you want to, you know, thank some places that have been helpful to you guys in doing this, you're more than welcome to. I know that, and diesel enthusiasts. We're all really passionate. We like to support those who support our events or our shows or anything like that. So you always like to give that opportunity. Well,
luckily, we're sitting in front of my good computer. That's not the wrong file. I say that, and then all of a sudden, I pull up the wrong file, the Excel file. Man, this year was insane. We had a bunch of people jumping on board this year that just, you know, ATS diesel, DPI off-road, off-road Vixens. She's a women's off-road clothing line, wanted to come out and set up a booth. Huge hit because we were on Father's Day weekend this year. And so all the fathers brought their wives and they spent a bunch of money over there with her. Alex Null over at Summit Diesel, he's been supporting us since day one. And they're just outside of Weatherford, Texas. BD Diesel, they've been there with us since day one. Very first event we threw, and they've maintained that every single year. Hot Shots, Kyle, huge thankful to him. He's always taking care of both Truck Jam and then Crazy Horse as well. Anytime we're out and about at races and he's there and we have a transmission issue and we're swapping out a 4R and we're like, oh, crud, we didn't bring any fluid. Kyle's right there with it. Hey, dude, I got you. Throw some of this in there. Justin Miller over at Miller Built came on board this year. Nitrous Outlet was our title sponsor. Those guys up in Waco. If y'all ever need nitrous stuff, they're some of the best around, in my opinion. Super Stick Transmissions, Cody Albright. He's right here local to me, actually. He lives about 30 minutes from me. You know, they built some really awesome units. Crazy Horse Carpentry, Monarch Diesel, Redemption Diesel. They're up in East Texas on the Arkansas border. Dan Valance over at Valor Clutches. Abilene Diesel Performance, Dudes Diesel Performance. He's actually about 20 minutes from me here in Taylor, Texas as well. Revival Diesel out in West Texas. Jake Brown at the Stroke Shop out of Odessa. And then Jeremy Wamsley as well. That guy's been there with us since day one, and he just announced they're having a baby. So congrats to him and Allison. Look forward to always working with these guys. And then Wade Mittner with Triple Max, UCC competitor. He lives about 20 minutes from the track. So when I told, and he gets his truck built and tuned and dealt with by TSD. So anytime I tell him, hey, we're throwing an event there, he's like, ooh, can I contribute? It's right down the street from my house. I'm like, yes, we will happily let you on board, sir. So, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere without all these guys. And it takes a team to run this. And, you know, these guys are all part of our team that's helped contribute to the diesel racing industry and the show industry and the quality of workmanship here in Texas. And I couldn't appreciate all these guys any more than we do.
Now, for anybody listening, they're like, hey, I want to check out Joshua's truck, see what he's doing, or I want to learn more about this event, or it's a shop listening or a company out there. And they're like, hey, I want to be a part of this. Where can people find you guys on like Instagram, Facebook, be able to ask questions or just see what you guys are doing?
So we've got my personal page. You'll find us. I don't even know it. Hold on real quick. Let me pull it up. But I do crew chief for Team Crazy Horse. So you can go check out our Instagram and Facebook on that. Bunch of big things going with his truck right now. You can check out my Instagram, which is TDO_JCole_64. And then follow the Texas Truck Jam Facebook and Instagram page, because we will be revealing our dates that we just locked down for next year a couple weeks ago. So we're waiting on a confirmation of a few sponsors, and we're going to be announcing that here very shortly. And I'll just say that we're finally out of the summertime. I've been trying to get out of summer in Texas events for several years now, and I finally have something that's not in summertime, and it's not going to be 110 degrees outside. So I'll just say that about that for right now. You'll have to wait and follow the page to see the actual dates revealed.
Well, cool. It was great to chat with you, Joshua, and learn more about the truck. And like I said before the podcast, we get a lot of questions about 6.4s. I'm definitely no expert on them, but I do know how to chat with people who own them and have built them and have the experience with it. So I like to have you guys on to, you know, share some knowledge, some insights, help somebody make a good decision. And you know, like I said a few moments ago, it's really cool to see what you guys have done with Texas Truck Jam. Look forward to following it next year and keep up the awesome work.
Awesome. I appreciate it. I'm no expert by any means, but I can definitely point you to one. So anybody ever has any questions, feel free to reach out. I have no problem talking to you.
Don't forget, Diesel fans, make sure and head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Use code DIESEL20 for 20% off site-wide. It's a great way to save some money, get something you might need for EDC, something at the job site, work, home. They got tons of different choices for you. Also want to give a shout-out to some of our Patreon supporters, Wrights Diesel Services, Caleb, and Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel. We appreciate their support, all of our Patreons, all the new subscribers, existing subscribers that we've had on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. You guys keep us going, keep us inspired. We love seeing what you guys are working on, answering your questions, and getting guests on to answer questions about topics that you want to know about. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.